Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geek Enders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time on gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geekenders. It is May the 8th, and we have a lovely guest, Nukriam. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Nukriam was one of, there were four of us that were on a panel for Interface X. So that was fun. But
that was fun. Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Did you play any of those games?
Oh.
Sorry.
I mean, some of the, no, that's okay. Some of them I had already played, but I still haven't dove into any of the other ones.
I played.
Those are like, one of my favorite genres of games is found desktop snooping games.
Yeah.
I love those. I don't know why. Especially the ones where it's like, you found the wrong desktop, bitch. And like something gets you every time. A treat.
I played that directory dungeon one. That's probably one of the craziest games I've played.
Yeah.
It's weird. It opens up your Windows, like Windows Explorer, like your Windows Explorer. And you're like moving windows around and file folders around. It's weird. But
oh
fascinating.
I love the games that mess with your computer. I know that sounds insane and very intrusive, but there's something about, like, obviously, always want to shout out Daniel Mullins. I think he was the first person I remember playing a game where it used my own Steam against me, where it would show people that... Obviously, I have no idea how it works now because it uses the old Steam, like when your friends would show up online. It has that, they changed the way that looks. So, but it had the old version of that. And what would happen is it would show friends pop up, or it would show like messages from friends or reviews from friends. It would use it against you. And it was awesome. And I must stress, I love stuff like that. I love when you play a game and it's like, well, it left a file in a folder on your desktop, and that's really weird. And you click it, and it's like, hey, it's me, the devil, and I'm in your computer. And I'm like, okay. Like, that's great. I love those things.
You like,
I think
things
great,
that make you sort of question what's the game and what's reality.
I mean, I'm not questioning what reality is. Like, I'm pretty sure I know. But I like that they play within the limits of what a game is. I like when people get really creative and say, oh, you think game is this, but game is actually this. Like, so Pony Island, and they're making a sequel, but Pony Island is a game that starts, and I will praise this game to the day I die. A game that starts one thing, ends another thing, and then somehow ends an entirely different third thing. And those are my favorite. I love a game that inceptions itself in a way that you're like, bro, what are we doing? It's good stuff. Always. Yeah.
It makes me feel so uncomfortable. Like, what? Are you out of there now? Get out of my computer. I don't want you in there anymore.
Yeah. I think that's the point.
I know, but I don't like it.
It's creepy.
Yeah. I mean, yes, no, that is specifically the point. Mm-hmm. Is the I'm pretty sure the horror game should be creepy.
I know. I don't like it. The point. I'm just saying that that's why it weirds me out.
Mm-hmm.
It's because there's no clear lake. And now we're done messing with your game. Messing with your computer. Yeah. We're done. We're out.
I mean, there were other games that we showed that were like very wholesome and kind of like, you know, get on this thing and check out this computer and see the love between these people. There's a lot of different, all sorts of different ones that you could play. I just happen to like the ones that are slowly destroying what you view as real.
Mm.
It's good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then something's going to get you. Like some sort of things in your computer. And it's like, you thought you were safe. You're not safe. Actually, the thing in your computer in reality is like your ISP. And they know everything you're doing on there. Spectrum.
You're not safe. Because the FBI is
here. They see what you're doing. Yeah, they see what you're doing, internet weirdo. They see.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They see.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a way to start.
What's this?
How did interface go? Like on the actual day.
Good, good, good.
Good. I'm glad.
That's three goods, I said.
Yeah. I know.
It was fine.
Oh, it was good.
Yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing birthday stuff with my child, so I couldn't be involved on the actual day.
Wow.
I know.
So you left us.
I know.
To have a party. Wow.
Rude. It is rude. I know. I'm aware.
Yeah, like, oh,
I prioritized party girl my Dodger. Child over the game, and that's on me. And I'll carry that with me for the rest of my life.
I know you mean like video games, but there's some part of me that's like, there's a line in a movie about like players doing cool stuff, and he's like, I know, I prioritize my child over the game, and I just for some reason that just resonates with me. Like, that would be a good line in a movie.
Game. Yeah, and then I do a rap battle.
Oh, right. But the way you win is your kid raps with you in sort of like a School of Rock moment.
Oh my God.
Where they all have like a, you know, you sing a song and it's kind of all right, but everyone loves it because a kid's involved.
Right. And by prioritizing my child earlier on in the movie, prioritizing my child actually helped me win the game.
Mm, and that's what the song's about.
That is the song's about family. About. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the judges, crazy enough, Vin Diesel.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And he's like, he gives you a thumbs up. He's like, I support this message.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The man loves family. Anyway, Nukriam, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing all right. We were talking about how it's early for you and Jessup.
Well, it's not really early. It's just early for me.
That's okay.
Tell my
it's
dad.
Earlier, it's earlier you than you would normally be asked to do things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, wait, which coast are you on?
I'm in Oklahoma, so I'm Central Time.
Mm. The mid-coast. Understood.
Yeah.
Mid-coast. Right.
Yeah.
That is what they call it.
So what is your average? Because this is, I think, I would probably be living your life had I not existed in a family where my dad would be like, what are you doing up? Go to bed now. So I'm curious, what is your average sleep schedule like as a streamer?
So I'm streams at midnight and I usually end around 4.
Mm.
So okay. I get up 11, maybe 12 if I'm being real lazy, but I usually wake up around 11 and kind of slowly get out of bed a little bit later.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, is there a reason you
work nights?
Yeah, did you?
Yeah, I do nights.
Well,
I did
besides
it
working nights.
When my kids were younger, it was the time I had. Oh. It was quiet. Everyone's in bed. I come back here mm-hmm. and have YouTube time. And they're all old now, but it's still nice. It's just kind of a habit now. I kind of like the nighttime. Everyone's in bed. It's all quiet. It's a good time for this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of stuck.
Yeah.
I've thought about like switching over to mornings, but then I get up one morning because I have something and I think, nah, you know what? I'll keep nights.
I hate this.
This is the worst.
Yeah.
Like after a full day, are you going in with like a lot of energy? Are you like ADDing your nighttime? Like what is the...
It's actually, so that's the other thing is in the mornings, like it can be kind of draining, especially streaming for 3-4 hours. It can be really draining. And so like if I do it in the morning, then like, you know, a few hours in, it's kind of like worn out. So it's nice, stream at night, go to bed. So in the morning, I'm good.
Mm.
I feel the downside of morning time streaming for me anyway.
How many kids do you have?
3.
If that's not too invasive.
No.
And they're all like older now. By older, do you mean like teens or?
My oldest just turned 21.
Oh my gosh, so 21. Full on adult.
Yeah. And then I have a 9-year-old, so she's still the young one.
I have an 8-year-old. Aw. Yeah, it's fun. What, Jesse?
I just realized time is an illusion and we're all dust, is what I... When you said I have an 8-year-old, I was like, that kid's 8, dude?
Yeah. Mm. She just had her birthday, as we already covered.
This is like when I found... One of my friends, like, I don't know, maybe like a couple years after high school, had a kid, and time just vanished, as it always does. And the next thing you know, he's like, yeah, she just had her 21st. And I was like, brother, what do you mean? I was like, what do you mean? So that's where I am.
Yeah.
Old, getting old.
I only have the one, but it really does feel like time simultaneously goes by really fast and also incredibly slow. Like it feels like I've always had my kid. And yet I'm also like, but I just got you. It's weird. It's strange.
Yeah, it's hard to remember a time before them.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just always there. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I was never not a mom, surely. but Sam is kind of similar to my husband is similar to you. He and I originally, when we first had our kid, it was like, well, I'm more of a morning person, so I might as well be up during, you know, like the morning and things with her. And then he would get up and be with her in the afternoon while I streamed. And it sort of felt, I think, sort of in line with what you're saying, for him, it was like, I can stream and then I can have a couple of hours where no one else is awake and I can just decompress by myself. Yeah. So he's just wound up. He just stays up all night now, whether he's streaming or not. He's just a nighttime boy.
Yeah. It's kind of where it started, where I had the night shift, especially when they were running a real little. My wife got up early. She had the early mornings. It's worked out.
Yeah.
It's kind of same kind of way.
I don't know what people do when, like, neither person likes being awake in the morning. Like that, I'm not sure how you rock, paper, scissors that.
Yeah.
Can I, like, all right, you're both here. I'm going to ask this because I feel like I need to.
Yeah.
To the two of you. I assume, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, especially with Dodger. I assume loving relationships.
the fuck?
Well, look, this is the question I'm asking.
Uh-huh.
When you think of, like, parenting and responsibilities and time and this and this and this and this, how do you manage to not only raise children, but also have time for yourself, but also have time for your significant other while maintaining two completely different schedules?
It sucks ass.
If you find an answer to that, you will be a best-selling author.
Yeah.
All right. Because it sounds in like the way you're describing it, I'm like, okay, yes, I totally get why you would do this, because everyone needs their own time to do their thing. Plus, it's a job, right? So you... But with that said, it seems like there would be a lot of like, well, see you Thursday at 2 p.m., my love. You know, like there's probably, I feel like there must be a lot of that.
Fortunately, because Sam and I both are self-employed, technically, we're both able to be like, okay, we're both going to take every Saturday off, but we try to like carve out moments like every day, like in normally. So he'll be awake right as I'm getting up and he takes our kiddo to school and I walk the dog. And after both of those things are done, we normally try to like spend a little bit of time, even just catching up, like having a conversation. So yeah, sometimes it's literally in like just little bits, you know?
Yep. A car ride.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
Well, I was just, I was very curious because it sounds quite busy. I'm sure that's exactly what it is. Probably more than I'll ever know. But it definitely sounds busy and overwhelming. And I get overwhelmed by like plants. So like I when I hear stuff like, oh yeah, we do this and we this and this and this, and then we, you know, every Saturday we schedule time. But I know it's not we schedule time to run away. It's, oh, and then we have our kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like there's layers to it. And it sounds like so much. Don't envy it, but very impressed that you can make stuff like this work.
It's a lot easier when you're like self-employed, you know, and doing this. But like, yeah, back in the working 40 hours a week, both of us, that's, yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah. Rough.
It's a nice happy note to.
What I realize is that two of you are like pretty selfless in what you're doing in your lives, and I'm a selfish asshole. I realize this now. I understand.
Like, yeah, we've talked about this before.
I don't know. Animals, if I leave, I have to be like, how am I going to care for this thing?
You are the cat.
Oh, I'm a cat?
Yeah.
That's true. I will look, every time we talk about any sort of like time management and relationship stuff, I always think back to the one time I went on a date. It was terrible. And then driving home, I thought, I could have been playing video games the entire time. What a waste of my time. That's my first reaction wasn't, oh, what a bummer that didn't work out. Like, she seemed nice. No, it was like, what a waste of a night. Oh, I could have been gaming. Like, that's where I am.
Yeah.
And I realize that's not a happy place to be. But also, sometimes I enjoy being like, no. Outside world, I'm going to turn you off for a minute. I'm just going to.
Look, everybody has different things and different lifestyles that make them happy. I was talking about this with my kid because my kid was like, I don't think I ever want to have kids. I was like, that's fine. Don't do it. That's fine, man. I pretty much always knew I wanted to be a mom. So I was locked in from really early on. But if, as you get older, you're like, no, I'm good. I don't want that. Then like chase your bliss. What makes you happy? You know, everybody wants different things out of their lives. Doesn't mean you're selfish, Jesse.
Oh, but I am. Let's not pretend. You don't need to sugarcoat this. I know what I am. I have one great love. His name is Jesse Cox. And he's truly a beautiful soul. Really.
Look, if you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love anybody else? Can I get an amen?
Amen. yeah, no. I love how chat's like, stop it, Jesse. They can't even let me goof. They can't even let me goof.
Bro,
they gotta be like, you don't mean that, you idiot.
I don't want to take away from your selfishness, but I will say that you have a small part in why I have a YouTube channel. I didn't tell you this before.
Oh my gosh.
I used to watch this little show on YouTube a long, long time ago called Tabletop with the Mr. Will Wheaton. And this is like before I knew much of anything about YouTube gaming or anything like that. And they used to do these little segments, these little YouTube short things, basically before YouTube shorts, of like an extended interview thing. And with Jesse Cox, you said, I think it was something like you like, I don't know, you got laid off or something and you sat down and played some games and now people watch you play games for a living. And I was like, wait a minute, let me look into this. And so then
that's the thing you can do.
I fell into the rabbit hole of YouTube Let's Plays and gaming, and that was the first introduction to it.
Oh, thank you. I'm honored. I love tabletop. Will Wheaton and I are mortal enemies, always will be.
One day, three, four times?
Yes! The last time I was on, I had to make a pact with other players to beat Will Wheaton, and then we played a co-op game. He's always one step ahead of me, every time.
I was on there twice, and the second time, I thought it was a co-op game, but it was one of those games where, like, you're just pretending to work together, and everybody has their own objectives that they're also working towards, so we were all secretly trying to destroy each other.
That's awesome. That's really fun.
Yeah. Dead of Winter, by the way, for anybody who's curious.
Great stuff. I know things. Future things, we'll say. But yeah, no, I I'm not saying anymore.
Ominous.
Genuinely had a blast on that, and it was a treat. And I'm glad you watched that, and you took away what I'm going to assume. I'm going to read into this. You said, oh, hell, if he can do it, literally anyone can. So I'm going to try. I'm going to read into that. Sure. Be like, yeah. It seems possible for anyone. Yeah. So when did you actually start?
I started in 2014. August.
So you're like old hat at this.
Yeah.
You're like actually
going on
like
12 years.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I know you've been around a bit, but a lot of times when people say a bit, it's like 2019. My brain says that's not long, but that is
I know.
Actually long.
I do the same thing. If it's anything past 2010, I'm like, oh, that wasn't that long ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, for the audience at home, what is kind of like your bread and butter, Nuke? What are you doing on stream?
I do a lot of strategy games, a lot of city builders, but basically I just play something different every day.
Nice.
Yep.
I try to find the stuff that, the hidden stuff. I looked at a stat a while back. It was like 15,000 new games or something like that last year on Steam.
It's crazy. So it's
a lot of them get buried.
And so
that's my purpose is to try to find the ones that get buried.
Have you found true gems? Like ones that are like, no one played this. It's amazing.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Well, all right. Give us one. What is like, what is, I don't know, in your top 10 of like, wow, that's great.
Terra Nil. You heard of that one?
Yeah.
Oh,
pretty popular.
It. Great game.
So that one was like a little demo, I think it was like a game jam game originally. It was over at itch.io, the old west of game sites. But occasionally you find some really good stuff in there. That was one I found over there. It was kind of unknown. And that's my go-to whenever someone asks me that question. Terra Nil. Because of how big it got and how much it developed after it got found. Not by me.
It is a genuinely great game. Yeah. I'm with you on this. Yeah. So, all right. So do you do like objective based things or are you just playing? Like when I do a, any sort of sim game or anything like that, I just play and then I'm like, well, I'm done. That was fun. Or are you like, today we're going to build a world of snow?
I just play the game.
Understood. I get it. Yeah. I know there's a lot of like, every time I talk with people who are in the world of like factory games or in the world of, you know, like some of the higher level sim games, it's always people who are like, yeah, so, you know, I try to build an all electric thing or I try to build one where we just use, you know, radioactive waste and see. And I'm like, that sounds super fun, but also, how much planning has to go into that? Because I would not do that at all.
I know that, like, if we're talking about, like, content, People love challenge-based videos. They love to watch that stuff.
Especially if you're like if you're like a factory games guy.
Yeah.
You gotta find something, you know. Today I'm doing this or whatever.
Yeah.
That actually does make sense because you would have to, especially on YouTube, have a title that wasn't just I played Factorio. Because that no one's gonna click that video. Because it doesn't say at all what is actually happening. But if you say, like, I made a factory out of pig parts, people be like, pig parts? What do you mean? Click.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that. I'm like, yeah, Factorio, that's a game. Please click. People are like, no, I'm not gonna.
Yeah, it really does help you sort of come up with a more interesting thumbnail, a more interesting title. You know, to be like, today in The Sims 4, I'm going to do the 1,000 babies challenge, you know.
The amount of videos like that for Roblox, it's too high. But admittedly, I get why they get clicks. Because it's like, today we're doing the Roblox, I become 800 feet tall challenge. And it's like, oh, all right. Okay, yes. No, this is a thing someone did, and boy, I bet that's hilarious.
Yeah.
It also gives you a good, like a good end to a video, you know? You've got a goal, you hit the goal, done.
Yeah. It is interesting, like, sitting with my kid and seeing what sort of videos she's drawn to, and it is usually, like challenge-based stuff where it's like, I'm playing Minecraft and I'm only going to use this one type of block, like that kind of stuff.
That doesn't really change as you get older, just the version of it, right?
Yeah,
because
the game.
You'll see the videos online that are like, what happens if you fell into Jupiter? Or at the bottom of the ocean, how long could you survive? Like, the same premise, really, just a weird informational thing, but the age dependence of the person watching it is why you click. Because you're not going to be like, yeah, no, this Roblox video where some person is like, I'm going to try to eat 1,000 eggs or whatever, which is basically, that was Final Fantasy 14, but
that
same
was 14,
vibe.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And it's like, shout I'm going to do Robert these Ross things. Yeah, I'm going to do these things, and hopefully you'll watch. And yeah, most of it is, what happens if, oh my God, every gun video on the internet really is like, we're going to try and shoot through 18 cars in order to hit this targeting dummy. And we're going to do it with
ever
increasing calibers of
video in my life.
I clearly have a thing for what would happen if that happened. Like it's always the same guy. Yes, and it's always this targeting dummy way further down, and then insert objects in front of it. And I genuinely think it's because one day I was like, I watch a lot of movies where dudes be shooting at cars, and they hide behind the car doors, and there's no way that protects you. It just wouldn't. And so then I'll watch it and be like, yeah, no, I was right. You'd be shot up. You'd be killed. Like, all right, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know. Then it was like, do you want to know what would happen if you shot a cannon at a man? And I'm like, yes, I would like to know that. And then it'd be like, well, now that you've seen that, would you like to know what would happen if that cannon was in fact a watermelon and we shot a watermelon at a man? I'm like, I would love to know.
How did you know?
Down the rabbit hole I go. Yeah.
Yeah.
That YouTuber is thinking, why are people watching these dumb videos? I'm making all this other stuff.
Yeah, and then they'll pivot. They'll be like, you know what? I'm going to make the content that
I'm the watermelon
make. And everybody
guy.
Everybody goes, ugh. I just want watermelon content. And then they unsubscribe.
No.
Yep.
It's a weird thing that somewhere someone had the idea to be like, those questions that you...
Yeah.
See, I had one of these last night. This is my thing, and I probably should look this up, and I know if I do, I'm going to be... So, I had a conversation last night.
Yeah.
And it was about ghosts. About ghosts. And so, the reason this conversation started is because there's a book that I was being told about where again, this is real quick summary of this book. Apparently, it's about this woman in China who is, there's like a bunch of murders and they may be caused by ghosts. And to appease the ghosts, they were going to set up a feast, right? To like appease these ghosts. And so I had the question of, well, what are the rules when it comes to ghosts? Because like, all right, if you're in China, like you know how every part of the world has their own sort of ghost traditions or how they view ghosts, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like
what is and isn't taboo and stuff.
Yeah. And I was like, all right, so here's a question. I go to China. I die in China, come back as a ghost. Do I follow Chinese ghost rules? It's a valid question. I was like, I have thoughts on that. I was like, because if I'm haunting someone, they try to feed me. Am I like, this'll do, and then I dissipate? Like, or am I like, I'm insulted by this? Like, what do you mean? Like, or I was like, I had questions. I had so many questions. And I was like, what are the rules? If I am in different places, yes.
Okay. I feel that you, Jesse Cox the ghost, you are an American ghost that just happens to be
true,
in China.
Yes. An American Ghost in China sounds like a great novel, by the way. But anyway,
sounds
yes,
great.
Please.
Yeah.
Add that to the bestseller list.
it should be.
So, I mean, assuming in this situation you are haunting somewhere in China, you didn't manage to get back to America, so you're haunting
right. Assuming
China.
Ghosts can't intercontinental travel. Yes.
Yeah. I assume that everyone who realizes a ghost is there would treat you as a within Chinese ghost rules, but you have American ghost culture.
Right. Exactly.
They'd be leaving pizzas out for you.
Yeah.
See, Coke. That might work. But how would they know? I guess they have to do some sort of seance thing to be like, oh, no,
oh,
we screwed up, y'all. He's an American ghost. Like
we screwed up.
They'd be, oh, man. Because the conversation that we were having skewed into like, well, America has people from all different cultures. And, you know, if you died here and like, I was like, yeah, of course, there's different cultures here. And so there's the potential for different ghosts. However, there's potential for like, but if I'm like American Jesse in China,
yeah,
I would assume if I'm in like a province way out in the boonies, would they know how to like get rid of me?
What were
I don't
doing
know.
Out there?
Would I be permanently haunting or would I be offended as a ghost? What are ghost rules? We've not established this in the ghost lore. I don't think anyone's had this conversation. Like, what's going on with ghosts?
I don't know, dude.
Right?
What's going on
exactly,
with ghosts?
Exactly.
You should bring this up on a Chilluminati.
Yeah. And then I was told, well, you see, the thing is, ghosts, like, if you were a ghost, Jesse, you'd be open to it. You'd be open to the idea of, like, these people are trying really hard to put you to rest. And I was like, you're right. Now, imagine I'm a racist and I really hate China. How would that affect me if I was a ghost there? Would I be even more mad?
What was racist Jesse doing in China in the first place?
I don't know, like hating?
He was there hating? So
he flew over to hate?
Malevolent, evil ghost Jesse is stuck in China. I don't think there's anything they could do.
While alive, he flew there because he really hates China. He like wanted, you know, he like really wanted to go and yell at people. So he got his ass kicked, like beat up.
Right.
Died. Haunts them, what happens?
They gotta exercise.
Is
you.
He more mad?
Yeah, you're a malevolent spirit at that point. They are not gonna feed you. They gotta just kill you dead. They gotta get rid of you.
And then I was like, but even in Asia, there are multiple cultures. Even in China. It's like, what are the rules? All I'm saying is, at the end of the day, the conversation was, what are ghost rules? And I don't think anyone knows. And it makes me question the whole idea of ghosts. It feels like there's too many rules.
I think in both situations, whether you're nice ghost Jesse or malevolent ghost Jesse, in both situations, the Chinese ghost culture rules do not apply to you. But nice ghost Jesse would appreciate the effort and malevolent ghost Jesse would just keep hating until they forced you out. So either way, it's kind of the same.
Be a plot point in a movie.
Rules wise.
You know, where it's like, you know, like there's a thing in a movie where they're like, we have to exorcise this ghost, but they just pick the wrong ghost rules and it only gets worse.
Like, wait, it's not that kind of ghost. Flips pages.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my, it's just Phasmophobia. What are we doing? It's literally the book in Phasmophobia.
Yeah, they're walking around going, hello?
None of this is new. Literally, it's a video game already. All right. Sure, man. Answered. Problem solved. We did it.
Can I just say, I love that you brought this up when I think the through line you were going to make is sometimes you click on these videos because they're answering questions that you've always had. And you were like, for example, what are ghost rules? If only someone would make that YouTube video.
Yes, that's what happened.
Okay, yeah.
You've summarized it correctly. Yes.
And you answered it.
That's
so now
exactly what happened.
You've made your own video.
Yes. We made our own YouTube video answering the question. Good what are ghost rules? Phasmophobia figured it out. Go play that game.
Go play Phasmophobia, and then you'll have all of your questions answered, I guess.
Yep.
Goodness gracious. What games have you boys been playing this week?
Oh, goodness.
What would you like to talk about?
I played a new demo for Metropolis 1998, a nerdy little city builder for those of us oldies. That played SimCity a long, long time ago. It's very, very reminiscent.
Is it SimCity adjacent?
Yeah, yeah. It's SimCity, but instead of like just plopping down the houses, you know, you can actually build the individual houses.
Oh.
And you have individual people with names while going about their daily lives.
Huh.
It's early, but
sure,
I am excited about it. Here in 5 years, I'll love it. It's going to take a while.
Yeah, it has the vibe of like, you know how when people talk retro, what they really mean is it feels old, not that it looks old. This has that, we're going to do a retro structure, but everything looks like it's purposely designed to look old. But you can see into buildings. You can see like the building of a supermarket. I love this kind of stuff. I love the way this looks. Can you destroy your city with Godzillas and or hurricanes?
And I don't understand why other city builders don't do that.
Not yet.
That's the whole reason you play a city builder, so you can throw a monster at it or whatever. But it's such a loss.
Yeah, when you're done and your city's thriving, alien shows
Send
up,
the
zaps it, and you're like, oh, what a shame.
So here's a question. I assume you like when games like this are really micromanage-y. Do you enjoy that?
Yeah, to a point. Grindy. But yeah.
Right. If I don't like micromanaging the city builder, but I like building the city, would I still enjoy this, do you think?
Yeah, because it has that mode, the zoom down, build your town, put in your beds and your windows and your people and, you know, the Sims meets Sim City or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But it also has that city skylines, plot down the zones and just let the town build itself. It's got both.
Hmm.
Yeah. Cool.
I think that'd be kind of fun to just be like, let's see who moves in. Let's see what they do. You know what? Now I realize it's a little voyeuristic, but screw it. I would love to do that. I love the idea of being like, I put down this housing zone. Who's going to move there? Why are they moving there? What, you know, I love games that give you a little bit more information of, oh, I built this zone. Why do they move there? Is it because next door is like a commercial district and they work there, or, you know, that kind of stuff. It's very interesting, especially when they try to use real world data and be like, oh, you built 18 casinos? Cool. So next door is this housing district where all the workers are for those casinos. But you built factories near that. So now all those people are slowly dying. It's like, cool. Lessons were learned. Awesome.
Mm.
Great. No.
Yeah, it looks nice. I like the style of it for sure. So, I probably enjoy making
anything else.
Bitty houses.
You've been playing?
I didn't play this one, but I watched one, and I saw you. What's the game? I forget the name of it. It just came out just a few days ago. I was watching someone play it. I'm sorry, I should remember. I should have had the name.
What is the
okay, what kind of game is it?
It's a creepy game. I think you helped develop it. Are you involved in it in some
Dark
way?
Pals?
Dark Pals.
That's the one.
Yes.
Someone was playing it. I was like, I wonder what this is. This looks weird. And then, whoop, there you are.
That is me. TV. I'm in the game. Yeah. I'm in the game telling you how to brainwash kids. So,
great.
That is a, yeah, that won't be used against me in any sort of way. Yeah, Dark Pals is a mascot horror game that myself and some other YouTubers made as sort of like, hey, we want to try and do this, and hopefully people will love it. It's extra silly, and we got some good scares in there, so hopefully people will enjoy. Yeah. Thanks for the shout-out, Wink. Check is in the mail. I thought you were talking, at first I thought you were talking, when you said horror, I thought you were talking about Sorrows, which is, I finally beat.
How'd you feel?
Last week I didn't want to talk about it simply because it's like very, even to talk a little bit about it, it's spoilery. Mm. But it's essentially the spiritual follow-up to Returnal, which is an incredible game. It might be too hard for its own good, but I love it, and the story is really crazy.
Are they same universe?
No, but there are Easter eggs from Returnal in this game. So, like, maybe, but no. And so it is essentially a game where you are the fourth group of colonists to go to a planet that is being mined by this essentially evil corporation / we're looking for unobtainium avatar-esque, like, they've got a mineral there that's so powerful, it'll change the course of human history. And you're like, all right. So you're the fourth group, and basically there was group one, which was the initial contact group. There's group two, which is like thousands of colonists who were going to be the miners and workers. Then group three was all the smarty pants people who were going to sort of manage what was going on. And then you are a small group that was sent because the first three groups vanished. And so you are sent there to go figure out what the hell's going on. This is what I'll say without trying to spoil too much. The planet's called Carcosa. And if you know what that means and you know what that is, you are into Eldritch Horror, and you will understand what kind of game this is. The repeat cycle is there is a giant black hole sun, and it resets. Won't you come? Mm-hmm. And it resets the day every time, so you can die and come back and die and come back and die and come back, that kind of thing. And the difference with this one in Returnal was very like, you could have some really awesome runs and some really crap runs. And that's just the way it was. This builds up. And it, you continuously get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. So it feels much better to play. Genuinely, significantly more fun to go through. However, it does do one of the things I like, you know, it's a roguelite. So there'll be moments where you're like, okay, this is my run. I feel so good. I'm so powerful. Everything's dying. And then it'll get to a point and it will be like, ah, good, you're here. Now return to base. And you're like, what do you mean? It's like, return to base. You're like, but just let me go forward. I'm so powerful right now. I could kill every boss. Just let me, like, no. Start over. You're like, no. And it does that frequently enough that I became like, right. Okay. Well, we gotta. Cool. All right. Great. But it like is super weird. It does one of those things that it like drip feeds you story. You don't get a lot of answers until the very, very end. And even then I still had like one or two questions, but it's one of those things where either I missed one note or I misinterpreted something. I understood what happened, but I was like, but like exactly what happened? It's like, I'm not going to tell you. It's that kind of game.
Right.
But again, we're in the world of Eldritch Horror, so it's not going to be answers. With that said, compared to Returnal's more horror.
Okay.
This is, you know what it is? It's the difference between Dead Space and Dead Space 3.
Okay. That's actually helpful.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Dead, like, Returnal has sort of like a horror element to it. It does like some really crazy horror stuff. This one is like, oh, there's some scary things here or there, but really, it's you're mostly there for like, what is happening? I must have answers, which is fun because that's kind of what the main character's after as well, is like some sort of answer. Most of the horror comes from the fact that an enemy will spawn behind you and you're like, ah, you'll freak out. Other than that, you're not going to get like jump scared in a cutscene or anything. I mean, even in some of the story segments, it's not that scary. You're just like, what is this game? With that said, if you like, if Carcosa triggers a little thing in your brain, you're like, oh, I kind of know what that is. It's very good. And it really leans heavily into that while also having like a subtext, I guess is the best way to say. There's like a real, you know, like, oh, here's the moral at the end. You're like, I see. I understand what this game wanted to tell me. It's very obvious. And it's like, okay, it's that kind of thing. Good stuff. Very fun. They make solid games.
Mm. I loved Returnal. Yeah. I know we already said that last week, but yeah, I'd love to play this one.
Yes, it is. It will, you will enjoy, but it will, like, these are rage-inducing games. They just are. And it's also because I'm terrible at them. Like, genuinely bad. Last week, hearing that Sean beat it in 3 days or whatever, I was like, cool. I was like, that's awesome for you. Yeah. So that's how I feel.
Yeah.
But great game. Super fun. Love that. Yeah.
I played Dead as Disco is out in early access now.
Is it good? Do you love
it? Bro, it's so fun. It has a streamer mode, which I've used. And one of the songs is completely different. And I hadn't heard it the way that it normally is until this morning. And it is definitely better when it's not in streamer mode. But generally, all of the songs are really good. The impact, for anybody who hasn't seen this game at all, it is an awesome rhythm beat-em-up game. And each level is like you confronting a different music type that is, you know, represented by a character. So the first one is like metal music. The second one is hip hop. It's so cool. When you fight, you feel so dynamic and powerful. And speaking of feeling competitive, at the end, it'll be like, here are your other friends that have played this game and their scores. And I wanted to die because I was like, how is everybody else doing so well at this game? And it made me want to just keep playing levels over and over and over again because I was like, I have to get a better score. But like, you can play this game in so many different ways. You can level everything up and use all of these like cool abilities, or you can literally just punch, punch, punch everybody and still get an amazing score. It's so fun. Every level is cool. They all look amazing. The characters are awesome. Yeah, I'm definitely going to play more of it. It's so good.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, it looked super fun. I guess those types of games, my question is like, when you're playing to the beat. How does it feel to do that? Like, I want it to feel like beat, 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 but I'm like, punch, punch, flash, 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 guy flying across the screen. Like, it's got to have that, you know, like, oomph to it.
So I will tell you, you can just spam punch and not even worry about the beat and still feel really cool. But if you hit certain things on beat, you do them better. So, like, there's a counter. It'll occasionally an enemy will come up to you and there will be like a flashing. If it's on keyboard, it'll be different from controller, but it'll flash like a button you should press. And if you press it, you basically like take down the guy that was coming for you. If you just press it the second you see it, you get them down to like half health. But if you press it perfectly, you execute, like you just kill them. So there is a benefit to getting things in the right time. I will say, when I started playing the game, I was playing with mouse and keyboard. Controller is way better. Way better timing-wise, I think, was fantastic. Something I will say is I really wanted a calibrator, and it's on their roadmap, but it's not in the game yet. So if you're playing and you're like, I feel like everything is just off, like I have felt a couple times, you can't do like beat calibration yet. So, but that is something they're adding.
All right. Yeah. I is there like an easy mode, a turn your brain off and just listen to music and hit guys mode?
Yes. You can play every level on easy and normal. I haven't unlocked hard yet, or maybe hard isn't in the game yet. I'm not sure. The levels are noticeably easier on easy, but also there's a way that you can play the game where you not import, but like you can have music that it basically operates as a media player for. And and then it'll match up BPM for you to be able to play the game with your own music if you'd like.
So I can import my Best of Ska 1996 album and really nail it. Awesome. Great.
Yeah.
Great. Great.
100%. Yeah.
Is there a Ska boss in the game? Someone
not yet.
Skateboard.
Not yet. Maybe one day.
Man, there should be. All of his goons have horns.
Well, I want, because so the like story, the loose story of the game is you are a man named Charlie Disco, who was the who was the drummer in a band, and you died and are coming back to life 10 years after you've died. And so you're seeing what happened to your bandmates 10 years later, and all of them have sold their souls for different reasons. But again, each one of them specializes in a totally different type of music. And I'm like, clearly we were disco, right? I want like an old school disco level. I think that would be so fun.
I think you're like disco is ironic. That's why you named yourself that. Because you're a drummer. So it's like, you know, it's fun.
One of my favorite things that you can do, if everybody's dead and you have nothing to do, there's a like flare button, and you can just press the button and you'll like, dee! Like you'll do like a dance move and like sparkle. It's great. It's a great game.
That's awesome. That's fun. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Yes.
Nuke, do you like doing games like this, or is it very specific? Like, oh, I enjoy what I enjoy. I don't want to do the I don't want to play Sorrow, so I don't want to like dance the night away.
This is probably not one I would be playing on stream, but it reminds me of like, there's a really old one called Crypt of the Necrodancer, which is a that's what it reminds
me of.
Love
those games.
And that one's great. That was one of those I was like, rhythm-based game, but once I played it, yeah, I loved it.
So yeah,
I won't say I won't love it, but it won't be one that I would
look for. I very much understand not wanting to put stuff on stream. Like, Cyrus is not on stream. That ain't happening, right? Like, but at the same time, you know, Dodger mentioned, you know, music streamer, you know, able to stream music or whatever we call
that. Cool.
I played Mixtape. Does not have that. Yeah. I guarantee that VOD is hyper flagged.
I am not playing Mixtape on stream because I was like, I don't want headache, man.
Don't care. Played it. Loved every second of it. It is. I don't know that I'd call it a game. It's an experience for those who grew up in the 90s.
Okay.
Like, I'm pretty sure the game takes place in 1999. I'm pretty sure. Maybe 97 or 98, but like, what a love letter to that time period. It is a mixed media, incredible journey down the nostalgia trip that was the 90s, told through music. So the entire game is one last playlist put together by a young woman who is obsessed with music, who is going to leave the next day to go to New York to try to make it in the music industry, which is causing some friction because she made a promise to her two best friends that they go on a road trip together that summer, but is dipping to go to New York. And so each of the characters, there's the main girl who has like a thing about music. There's like the kind of Zen stoner guy friend. And then there's the like her parents are a cop. Her mom is like a church lady and she's a rebel and right. She's rebelling against them. Okay. And it is one last night, one last great party. And the whole game is them trying to get to this party. It's basically what you would like a movie. You know what I mean? That kind of like movie plot. But it's set in little vignettes of them getting there. And every scene is like perfect to the music. Every song they've chosen for this game is perfect. When like there's one moment where you have to run from the cops and it's done in a shopping cart. And it's from the demo, if that exists and you can play it. But like, my God, is it fun? Like everything about it is just pure fun. And then there'll be moments where the main character has like a voiceover thing explaining something, I assume either to people who were not alive then or to people who were like, I remember that. Like right. The intro bit about what a compact disc is one of the funniest. I was like, this is amazing. This is like compact discs are the new like state of the art. I was like, yes, they are. They still are. It's a treat from start to finish. It's really fun. I don't want to spoil things, but it's really good. I highly recommend playing it for anyone who like, if you're 30 plus, you should be playing this game. I'm just saying, you will have a whole like, I remember when. What's weird is it made me flashback to like things. I was like, oh, that did happen to me. I was like, it's a thing that occurred.
Deep nostalgia kind of.
There is a moment in it where I got inceptioned, not because like they hit you in this. So the game is nostalgia, but then within the game, there's another scene of a flashback. And I was like, this is like Inception where we're going through layers and I'll end up in like nostalgia limbo. Well, you'll never get me back. I will never return from all this nostalgia. Yeah. It's like a feels game. I don't know how to describe it. It's like, The gameplay is an element for sure, but it's not important. I don't know how to describe it. Like, there's one scene where you're game playing the first kiss. And I would describe it more, but it would ruin the moment. Like, that kind of thing. There's a scene where you are game playing running through a field, except it's like an artsy thing of like, you're flying through a field and you're doing things and music's playing in the background. Also, they're genius with their music choices because there's one moment where you're angry and Smashing Pumpkins plays. And now everyone would think
amazing.
You would get some sort of bull with butterfly wings thing. False. They pick a completely different song and it's great. And you're like, wow, they do know music, this dev team, and they're not just going with things you'd expect. And I, for one, couldn't be happier. And genuine treat. And also the characters are ridiculous. Like, just ridiculous. And
in a good way?
Oh, in the best of ways.
Okay.
Yes. My man Slater, Van Slater, is my hero. That guy will say things that I'll be like, that's the smartest thing anyone has ever said in the entire existence of mankind. Like, he's clearly completely stoned out of his mind, but he's like sitting there and he'll just like say a thing and everyone will be like, wow, man, that's deep. And he's like, I'm aware. And he's like, yeah, that's my boy. It's great. Yeah. Yeah. There's a strong case made in this game that Devo was not a one hit wonder.
Dang.
It's really, really cute. You will love it. You will genuinely love it.
Somebody in chat said that when they were watching you, the way that they felt was that it was like you got to play through a bunch of cool music videos.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, there's moments where, so like, You know how in Life is Strange or any of those games, you end up in someone's room and you can like explore the room and get information? And this, there's a song playing in the background because it's like, this is her curated thing for this day, right? She has this playlist, and each chapter starts with the title of the song and the thing. And so it's like a whole, this is our day. And if anything screws up this perfect day, I'm going to be super pissed. Like that kind of character. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're in your room, you're looking around, and you might find a tape. And your friends are like, oh, is that the tape that guy gave you? And you're like, ugh, yeah. And it's like, oh my God. And she's like, it starts with this song. I hate this song. It reminds me of this moment. And then you have a flashback to that moment, and you have this like ridiculous scene. And then it goes back and they're like, that was crazy. Or, but like essentially the vibe of these characters, and this is why I think you'll specifically like it, Dodger, is their relationship with the three main characters is like, they are hyper besties, but in kind of like that, like, we're going to give each other a hard time thing. So one of the girls is like, oh yeah, I had a dream about you last night. And the response is like, yeah, what were we doing? It's like, no, we weren't doing it. We were at school. And then there was like puppy, like it's a huge long thing. And at the end they're like, but yeah, we were doing it. Like that kind of, that's the goof of all these characters, yeah. Is they're just like, nyeh. It's good stuff. There's a lot of, there's one section where I don't want to spoil it all. There's a lot of really fun moments, and all of them I was like, yeah, we have to include this in this game. We had to include this. Yeah, no, okay, yep, no, this had to be here. We're telling it genuinely, I was smiles the entire time. It was good. It's good stuff.
My feel-good thing this week is, and I'll keep it short because we've talked about this game before, but finally started playing Pocopia with my kid.
Is it not great?
It's so cute. She's playing it, and I'm off to the side, like, helping her figure out what to do sometimes. It's so cute. I've had to look up the evolution tree of Pokemon that I haven't thought about in forever. She was like, oh my gosh, I found a Bulbasaur. What does Bulbasaur turn into? And I was like,
Is this Clark's first Pokemon game?
Yeah. She's watched a few different episodes of Pokemon before, of like the TV show, but she's never played a Pokemon game. And I think this one is really fun for a little kid because, to my understanding, they don't evolve, right? So, like, you find Charmander, but you can also find Charmeleon, and you can also find Charizard, and they will be considered separate Pokemon so that you get to always have Charmander and get to always have Charmeleon on your little island. So, yeah, she's really enjoying it. I will say, if she was any younger, I think she'd be really confused by it. She's at, like, the perfect age cusp or like mental cusp to be able to be like, oh, I have to build homes for the Pokemon and then they will show up. I have to figure out what home this Pokemon wants so that it comes to stay on in my little zone, right? So yeah, she's found 6 Pokemon. She's very proud. She went to school and she was like, cute. I know. She went to school and she was like, I'm so excited to play Pocopia later. It's adorable. It's really cute. Yeah. I watched her walk around and barf up water for like an hour. It was great.
Sorry, what?
Because at the very start of the game, have you played it?
Yeah. The way you describe it is.
At the very start of the game, you find a Squirtle, right? And the very first ability you learn is water gun.
It's not
and
water
you just go,
barf.
Bleh! And you just barf up water everywhere.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. And I kept being like, oh honey, they've told you like how to make a habitat. You could make like a little collection of tall grass because Bulbasaur's taught you how to make tall grass. And she was like, but mommy, I have to cover everything in water. She was literally trying to cover everything in water before she progressed and did the next thing. And I was like, you know what? I would be the same. I'd do the same thing. So
she's a little misty. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. Water types.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She just learned the cut ability so she can get rid of all that wood. She's very excited. Progression.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's really cute.
Yeah. So it's been fun. I've felt very much like a lot of my really early gaming memories are me playing a game and my mom in her little recliner watching me play. And I felt like that's me now, like just sitting on the couch watching my kid play a Pokemon game and occasionally being like, maybe try this, you know? So it's been fun. It's like, cute.
Nuke, is that like a parenting thing? Do you do that? Do you sit there and watch?
Our game is Tamagotchi Life now for the past.
Oh, of course.
Yep.
So she
makes her little
that.
Creations, and then I go in there at night and I make Cap Picard and the Doctor and I sneak them on the
of
island.
Of course.
Yeah.
Cute. Has she called you out on it? Been like, wait a minute.
No,
where'd that guy come
from?
She
likes it because she comes in and something's different. So.
Oh, that's fun.
Add some spice to it.
Yeah.
Is the, a genuine question. I assume that when you were kids and you played games and parents watched or whatever, they didn't know what it was or how to play it. So they just enjoyed the idea. You know how to play this game. Part of me would
be
a little like, yes, okay, yes. Thank you for the honesty. I would be like, no, kid, no.
My other two were younger. They'd play like Mario. But they'd play it like a life sim. So they'd be bouncing around and going to the grocery store. I'm like, what are you doing? Just walk down the path. Jump on the Koopa. And they're like, na-da-da-da-da. They're playing that little life sim Mario.
Yes, I've found that I have a much easier time if my kid has one of those games where that's encouraged, where it's like, you're encouraged to just walk around, talk to characters, you know, maybe they'll give you a quest and you, the child, might ignore that quest for a very long time. Or like we used to play Animal Crossing together and she got really pissed off because I had all the tools. And I was like, yeah, because I'm doing the quests. Because I'm doing what the game's telling me to do.
She doesn't want
to do that. She just wants to run around and pick up sticks and seashells and, you know, so.
I mean, and I think like that's, I mean, when I was a kid, I think everyone who was a kid, that's how we played games. Games were what we made the game. Mm-hmm. I just am, as someone who is not sitting there watching a child play a game, I can imagine, hell, I can't watch some people play games that I love because I know they're doing it wrong. You know what I mean? Like, there's...
You are Chad.
Yes, there's these grinding gear guys over on YouTube who are playing Final Fantasy VI, and I was like, oh, that's so fun, I'll go watch. And within 20 minutes, I was like, I can't watch this anymore, because they're literally not playing the way I would want to play. And I felt like every person in my chat, where I was like, oh, no, I'm the monster. So I was like, I can't watch. I can't do this anymore. Yeah. I'm going to remove myself from this, because it will only upset me. And that's like bare minimum experience. So I imagine if I was a parent with a child and they were playing a game that I loved, I'd be like, you're doing so good, honey. But I'd be like, the entire time.
Yeah. Fortunately, like with this one, I haven't played Pocopia before. So it's pretty easy for me to kind of sit back, let her try to figure things out, and then occasionally do like what I said and be like, remember, it told you that if you put four tall grasses together, it can become like a habitat for something. And she'll be like, yeah. I'm like, all right, I did my best. I told
Mom,
her.
I'm aware of what it said to do. I'm doing this other thing.
I'm barfing up water. Yeah. And eventually she did make that collection of four tall grasses. And she immediately got a Pokemon. So come on, girl.
Do you think it was kind of like a, I want to see what will happen if I cover everything in water?
I think it's just, as somebody who also does that, I think it's just satisfying to be like, all of this is sand, and if I barf on it, it grows grass. I'm going to barf on all of the sand before I do the next thing. You know?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Would you not barf on all the sand, Jesse?
It's just the way you're saying it. It isn't, would you water the sand? It's, would you barf on all the sand? And
would
it
you
seems
barf on all the sand?
A little crazy. You know what? If I was a Squirtle, yeah, I'd cover the world in water. I'd make a new water world with my own barf. Yes. Yeah. Correct. That's great. What I would do.
I'm glad we're on the same page.
But obviously, I'd be some sort of war turtle. Come on now. I'd have cannons and stuff wouldn't. Shoot.
Not yet, you're you right. wouldn't.
I gotta earn that. My bad.
What else, guys? You guys do anything else this week?
Well, I happy Mother's
Day. It's okay
Day
to say
days.
No.
Uh-oh. Make sure I add Mother's Day in there. Happy Mother's Day in a couple days for those mothers.
Yes. Mm. Happy Mother's Day.
I still get so confused about Mother's Day because it's different here. It's a different day.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. England.
Yeah. just same thing I've been doing for the past several years. Searching for some indie games.
Honestly, yeah. That's it. That's what it is. We played 33 Immortals. It was a sponsored thing.
It did.
Week,
yeah.
Unexpectedly fun in a way I did not expect. And I got to give them a shout out because that was like.
That was so fun.
Imagine. Yeah. Imagine a roguelite-ish game where you pick a class and then you go on a little Dante's Inferno journey between hell, purgatory, and heaven. And you play on a map with 30x number of other players.
32,
depending on how
many
you have.
Because there's always 33 people per map.
Yeah. And you play together. And I thought it was going to be a competitive thing. But it's not. It's 33 people who are... You know, there's one stat that literally is like, co-op, man. Level that up. And it makes your interactions with other people better. And you know, you're doing all the dodging and power-upping and doing all sorts of fun stuff. But you also can drop stuff on the ground, these little circles, and then people can go to them, and you can give buffs or do superpowers or do all sorts of cool things. It's really, really fun. And I was like, I kind of love this game.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, just imagine like a huge map. And there are enemies everywhere. And there are, you know, there are these little like dungeons that you can go into and they open up. But you, yeah, collaborating with 32 other people, you're trying to get as much done and become as powerful as possible before it sort of funnels you all into one spot to fight a big boss. And there are raid mechanics and all kinds of stuff.
Like
it's
like
MMO so
style raid mechanics. It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's just a demo?
I think on Epic, there's like an alpha you can play right now. But on Steam, there's a demo. Yeah. And it is, there's like, I don't know how to describe it. There's different classes you can be. And then you can earn currency in game to then unlock, I don't want to say better classes, just more different. So, for example,
there's one
there's
to
two
represent
different...
each of the sins. So there's seven different like weapons that you can use that have different abilities associated with them.
Yeah, and they're all like there's two ranged one. Well, technically three if you count Sloth as like a wizard that puts people to sleep. But like there's one where it's you have a bow and arrow and you shoot arrows, but then you have to. If you have a controller, press Y to collect the arrows again. So you don't have unlimited ammo. But the fun thing is when you shoot the arrows, it leaves a little mark. And if there's a guy between you and the arrows and you collect it, it'll do damage on the way back. And I'm like, well, that's pretty fun. So you can kind of figure out ways to play with that. But then there's another one that's arrows, except it's you have two crossbows now. And you like tag an enemy. And when you shoot that enemy you've tagged, you build up this meter. And then you can unload all that meter on any enemy for maximum damage, but you only fill the meter if you hit the thing you tag. And so, yeah, it's those kinds of mechanics. There's always like a little something going on. So you're not just running around killing. You always have something you're trying to achieve while you play. Besides, get more damage, get more life, or get more. It's so funny. It's a co-op power, but it's literally just two people hugging. And I'm like, I gotta get my hug level up, dude. And all I want to do is get hug up. And I will say, it made my like team abilities so powerful. It's
really strong.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We made it all the way to heaven, and I'm just gonna say, I feel like we should have learned, if anything, from this Dante level story. Don't go to war with heaven. You're gonna lose. We got our ass beat.
We really got rocked
we
by
got
the angels.
Beat
yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but, I agree. I had a blast with that game.
Mm-hmm. It was... I couldn't... Some of the animations are, like, gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the boss fights, because the models are, like, a bit bigger, you can see all the fluid animations. It, like... Beating up the devil was awesome. I was like, this looks so cool. I was like, this is, like, a great fight. It was neat.
Yeah, for sure.
No. Yeah. That was cool stuff. But I don't know what the release date on that is.
Me neither.
But you can play the demo on Steam, and I think it's over on Epic. So, good stuff.
Fantastic. Well, shall we move into news then? What have we got for the news, Jessup?
Oh, Dodger, we have so much news, and I'm so excited. So, let's start with the sign of the times. According to Generations of Play, Generations in Play is the name of this. It's a report developed by IGN, Kantar, and UC Berkeley. They polled thousands of highly committed consumers, whatever that actually means, in the US, UK, and Australia, and they found only 38% of millennials, 42% of Gen Z, and 20% of Gen X said they'd pay full price for a game. Which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Video Game Chronicle talked to Christopher Dring of the games business, and he said, consumers are full in terms of things to play, watch, and read. Plus, games have a habit of launching unfinished or in need of a patch or two these days. So, considering those two factors, the drive to rush out day one and purchase a game isn't there the way it used to be. The upside is that games are living longer, and it's not unusual for big games to sell for years and decades.
Yeah.
And I think that's like a real true quote. Is there's a lot of games that are launching like, but we didn't finish the game, but it's here. And I think most people are like, well, why would I pay full price for that?
Yeah, it's also that a lot of people who play games consistently are sort of like, you have so many options of things to play, right? So there's not quite as much of a... insistence to play something the second it comes out, because you might still be working on another game anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if I didn't have this job, I'd do what I did every other time I had games in my life. Play the game until I couldn't play it no more, then get another game. It wasn't like, oh, I bought five games. It's like, no. One game at a time. That's how you play games. And it doesn't matter if you're late to a game, you'll get to it. It's a different beast when your channel is like, I got to play a new game today. Oh, I played that for 3 hours. I'll come back to it someday. You know, like, it sucks. It sucks. But, yeah, I mean, like, does that translate into the world of, like, Sim stuff? Nuke, is that like a, because I don't know. They're not, are they coming out often?
Yeah. They're always coming out. Yeah. I haven't finished the game in a long time. Touch on the game and then move to the next one.
Yeah.
They also obviously said that, like, adding to the fact that people are working more, people are making less money, that money's being spent on, like, you know, other stuff. Example here, $6 gas in LA. That's just great.
$6?
The other day it was $6.85. I was like, bro, it's down now again, but it's still over six, which is insane.
I thought it was high here. I will keep my mouth shut.
Everything's a little more messed up in LA. I will say that. But yeah. They also had some more information about the three generations that they talked to. Gen X consumers prioritize Google search for discovering games, while 85% millennials prefer YouTube, which explains a lot of our audience, and Gen Z prefers social media posts about games. Gen X said they favor single-player games, while Gen Z says they favor mostly multiplayer, and millennials are split. I imagine that split is based on your age as a millennial.
I think it's an age thing, because when we were younger, we played multiplayer games. I speak for myself anyways. I didn't play a lot of single player games, but a lot of multiplayer games. And then as I got older, I
pretty much only single player games.
Yeah. Yeah, I played single player games, and then the older I got, I played more multiplayer games. And then the older I got, I was like, nah, single player's where it's at. I don't know what happened, but I was like, I'll be real. I think it's the older you get in multiplayer, you have that realization that you don't have the time commitment to get good as the kids who are kicking your ass. And you're like, you know what? I'd rather have fun than log in and be beat by a 14-year-old every damn day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not that it's not fun. Multiplayer games, I love multiplayer games. But I will rage. And I'm like, I'm too old to rage. I can't do this. I'm out. Generation X and millennials are more likely to return to games in order to complete or master them, while Gen Z are motivated by new customization and community content, which I think is pretty interesting. Consumption of video game guides varies by generation. Gen X indexed higher on tip videos, millennials on map tools, and Gen Z on build guides, which I thought was pretty interesting as well. Yeah. Gen X is highly skeptical of AI and more trusting of brand recognition, being 38% less likely to use AI for discovery and 44% less likely to believe that AI summaries are as good as human ones, which I think anyone who's ever looked at an AI summary has been like, what are you saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of, when it comes to consumer trends, those who are waiting for a PS6, hey, you might be waiting a little while longer. The latest financials from Sony are out, and the PS4 is outselling the PS5. Mostly, I assume, because they jacked the price up by $100. But even then, the PS4 still more dated, but people are still enjoying it just as much. And I think because, going back to the idea of game prices and whatnot, used games, cheaper games.
Yeah.
And because there's so many games, and people are like, oh, I want to play that thing. Oh, it's on PS4. I'll get to it. And so there is no rush to jump on the PS5 train and play the new thing when it's like, there's so many games. Like, I'm in no rush to play all these games. They'll be there. It'll be fine.
And those oldies are cheaper. Way cheaper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Way cheaper. And also you can get some games that are on PS5 on a PS4. And I'm going to let you know, most people don't give a damn about like the graphic fidelity of games. They just want to play the game.
For sure.
Like, it is what it is. When speaking about the PS6, not only is the fact that sales of the PS5 are lower than the previous gen, but the cost to make a 6 would be even higher, like way higher. They were saying on the call that the price of memory is so messed up at the moment that you shouldn't expect a PS6 in 2027, which was the forecast for when it would be released. They're like, nah, don't expect that unless something drastic changes. But, yeah. You know, there was also talk about since players have so many options, they don't feel the need to jump on a new console, which got me thinking because my conspiracy brain kicked in and I was like, hold on. At the Final Fantasy XIV Fan Fest, they were like, hey, we're going to give you 2 years to get a PS5. Save your money now because we're not going to service PlayStation 4 anymore on patch 8.3. So you have 2 years. I feel like there is some sort of like top down thing of, all right, we're going to shut down the PS4.
To get a PS5.
Yep. Move them to PS5, please, because we're going to stop making PS4s. We're going to start making 6s and we want people on 5s. Or they saved up their money. Oh, a 6 is out and they can buy a 6. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's a little, let's get these gears rolling. So right. I was like, all right.
Can I tell you really quick? I just got an email from the Nextdoor app that somebody made a post in my area that says resist, resist in all caps. I have no idea what it is.
Resist what?
No clue. It's extremely foreboding though. Somebody in my neighborhood made a post that just said resist twice.
Unsubscribe from that Nextdoor email list so many times and it keeps coming.
It just keeps showing up, man.
You ever just feel like it's passionate you know, like really passionate about something, but when you dig into it, you just know it's going to be like, resist! They're trying to make me cut my hedges. I will never let them cut them. Resist!
I was going to say, do you guys think that it is racist in nature or has a, you laugh.
Little column A, little column B.
Do you think it's racist in nature or has something to do with being told what they can do on their own house?
I think it's someone being told what they can do on their own, like own property, being like told you can't do that.
Okay.
I'm hoping for the best. That seems like the best scenario here.
Oh, not no. sold on that one.
It is. It's stupid. All right. Yes. Yes.
It's a new exercise group focusing on resistance bands.
Now that is clickbait.
That was incredible clickbait.
That's
they need to make
clickbait
YouTube videos.
If I've ever heard it. That's incredible. Well done, poster. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well yeah. done. All right.
You know, happy about that, honestly. Out of the options, really happy about that.
That's really good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very, very end. Fun.
Okay, sorry. Continue with the news.
No. That's the best news we've had today, to be honest. So also this week, for those of you who are like me, and you've been waiting 10 years, for probably longer, considering the last Star Fox game was kind of ass, you've been waiting a long time for a new Star Fox. Well,
yes.
They're releasing one, except it's Star Fox 64 and it's a remake. However, I know the internet was a little poo-poo-y about it, but I'm going to say Star Fox 64 rocks. And I love that game. And I'm excited to play it again. I don't care that they're just like, yeah, we threw a new coat of paint on it. Don't care. I love Star Fox 64. It literally has my favorite level, which is basically just a spoof of the movie Independence Day. I don't care. That thing rules, and I'm excited to play it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'll say on that. Even though I would have liked a new game, but I'll be honest, the last one wasn't great, so I'm fine playing an old one. I think that's where I'm at. That's my old man statement of the day. The last game wasn't good, so I'm fine playing the old stuff. There you go.
Yeah.
Speaking of the last game wasn't good, in the PC world, Take-Two's CEO finally admitted, like, hey, we screwed up when it comes to the truly... I do have a question. I'm curious, Nuke, if you played this. I feel truly terrible Civ 7. Mm. Genuinely bad game. Speaking to GameFile, Take-Two's...
you have managed to talk about Civ 7 a startling number of times on this show.
It's one of the few games where I was so excited, and then I played it, and was like genuinely hurt by how much I hated it. Most games, if I like a game or don't like a game, I'll talk about it and then move on. But Civ 7 felt like an assault on me personally. Like, I love Civ games. I play them all the time when I like, when stuff renders or whatever, I'll sit there, I'll play a Civ game, I'll start a civilization and just like see how far I can get before a render's done, right? It broke my heart. Like, people were hating on Civ 6. I genuinely had a fun time with Civ 6. Civ 7? Nah. Here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
They said, all right, talking to GameFile, Take-Two's Interactive CEO, Strauss Zelnick, said that, look, it's on me, my bad. Every time there's a new Civ, the team at Firaxis thinks, how are we going to develop this and push the envelope further and make this new game? How do we preserve enough people love? And then, like, how do we bring people in? And so, yeah, we did it wrong with Civ 7, but, you know, it wasn't for want of trying. We're going to do better. So, and I think this goes back to the idea of waiting to buy games, they announced on May 19th, a new update is coming out where they're removing the controversial civilization swapping feature and allowing players to just stick with one civilization the entire time, which was one of my biggest complaints because it felt like three games that were completely different and nothing carried over really. And so big fan of that. But I think this goes back to the idea of waiting for a game. Like,
yeah,
I think a lot of Civ players will tell you most Civ games, it takes years before they become good. And here we are. They're not removing it entirely. It's a swap. You can stick with the old one or, yeah, you can play the new one. But I'm saying you're removing it because I will never play that old version again.
If you're playing with another person, does each person individually get to decide or is it game-wide? Like, we're going to play a game where we all stick. Okay.
It's I would imagine it's game-wide. But I didn't think about that. The idea, it probably in a setting when you start the game. I don't think they would have people swap and others stay. But man, oh man, I cannot stress how, like, the videos that exist out there of Krendor and I playing, where I'm like at war with a nation and then the civ swap happens and the game is like, oh, that war never happened. Also, those cities you took because you didn't completely claim them, you don't have them anymore. And it's like all that work gone. Like that. Oh, yeah. No, that's terrible. No. But if it's multiplayer, I imagine what it would be is you choose the mode before you play. Because I don't think the game could handle doing both at one time. I feel like it's a setting rather than like, it's whatever, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's coming. It's coming the day after my birthday. I feel like it's a gift to me. They heard my complaints and said, we got you. And I said, thank you. Thank you so much. So I will give it another try and we'll see what the game is like without one of the most intrusive, awful things I've ever experienced in a game. Hate that. Yeah. And then, of course, we have some releases this week. If you like RTS, there's a new Battlestar Galactica Scattered Hope coming out that you can play and experience your Battlestar Galactica dreams and try to keep your people alive to get, I assume, to whatever the hell the end of that series was. I still don't know what the Cylon's plan was or if they even had one, but I'm told they did. Maybe I'm just not smart enough to know. Then, on the 12th, Directive 8020 from Supermassive comes out. It's a horror game where you have to survive on a colony ship that's crashed on a planet where, spoiler, there's creatures that can take the shape of humans. Who do you trust? Who is real?
Oh my gosh.
Is like, it's basically one of those things where it's like, how do I know I can trust you? How do I know I can trust you? And then you, the player, have to make the choice. And here's what's going to happen. You'll probably end up killing someone important that will then make the rest of the game super jank because all the cutscenes won't make sense because that important character is dead. Every Supermassive game ever.
That is the way that those games roll. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's every Supermassive
those games
game.
Is, can I trust you? And then you fuck up a QTE and then the rest of your game is a mess. Yeah.
And then you're like, well, okay, cool. I got an experience. So, yes.
But, I love those games, though. I enjoy the shit out of them.
Yeah, it's super fun. I love that they just keep going. I love the no ending thing, even if sometimes it's really weird when you're like, oh, no, that must have been the main character that died because none of this makes sense now. So, yeah. Then, same day, if you like your Lovecraftian narrative experiences, not necessarily horror, Call of the Elder Gods, which is the sequel to the very fun Call of the Sea, which is a game that I loved. Not necessarily a scary game, but a like, ooh, what's that? Let's solve some puzzles. Well, we have that in the form of deeper storytelling now with more Lovecraftian stuff. This apparently, I think, is like chapter one, so I guess it's going to be different parts. We'll see. But pretty excited for that one. I love those games. Then, on the 14th, speaking of true horror and the sea, a game that I will only play through, I assume, coercion and or enough money, Subnautica 2 Early Access comes out, and I'm good. I don't need updated graphics and fidelity for my undersea horror experience. And everyone says, but Jesse, it's a fun game. You get little cute fish and you go swimming. Lies. Don't let people lie to you. It is absolutely a horror game. Don't let people lie to you.
Yeah. Look, they're fun, but not if you have deep sea fears. You should not be playing that game. Mm-mm. It is always shocking to me that you played that game.
It was for my birthday stream, and I gave the people what they wanted, and I played it and did not, like, the first area, it's little tiny cutie fish, and I was like, I didn't want to jump in the water. I was like, there's stuff in there. And yeah, then I took my little sub out and was like, what's this? And I got eaten. So.
There you go.
Just play for a couple
Happy
hours.
Happy birthday.
You only get the cute stuff.
That's a lot.
Put it down.
Don't let them trick you. There's stuff waiting. It's like, oh, hey, what you doing over there in that shallow water? Oh, I'll be over here. Don't you worry. Mm-mm.
Apparently this one has co-op, so you could play it with a friend if you wanted to try.
I don't have to outswim the monsters. I just have to outswim my friends.
Exactly.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, I think there's an... Like, I don't know if it's you had to pre-order. I don't know. But there's a Forza early access happening. Or what are they calling it? Like, advanced access. Whatever it is. If you want to play the new Forza Horizon, you can do that as well. I assume if you pay. And so that is what's coming. Hopefully, you will find something to love. There's about 8 billion Steam games that you can find that are not on this list. And, feel free to, like, you know, go through those. See if there's anything fun. Pull a nuke. Get in there. Dig through.
Absolutely.
But thanks don't so do much. That, because then I'm out of a job. Don't look for them. Just come.
Yeah, don't do that. Just go watch.
And
yeah,
then just
watch
slide
the
across the table to me so I can.
That's right. Keep it secret.
No, Graham, thank you so much for joining us for Geekenders. Remind everybody where they can find you and what you've got going on this week.
I am on YouTube. I'm on Twitch. YouTube every day. Something different. I don't know what it's going to be, but something strategy, city building, maybe weird, but something different every day. I'll be here tonight in about 12 hours on Twitch.
Are you going to go back to bed?
Nope. Remember this whole story. I have kids and a wife. There's no time for
sleep.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You do have those.
Tonight's stream will be the loopiest one yet. Tune in.
He will be sleepy, but we appreciate the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Jessup, what about you?
Oh boy. I am going to try tomorrow to stream more co-op stuff with Crendor. I'm too old for this. We've been doing sort of a backrooms thing lately, so I think he and I are going to play one of the backrooms games, which I imagine will be utter chaos. So tune in. It should be insane. But yeah, other than that, just kind of doing my thing. And as a reminder, a new video game is out, so go check out Dark Pals.
Fantastic. I'm probably going to play more Dead as Disco. Forever is also in early access now, officially. That game's very fun. But I've also found a couple weird visual novels. So who knows? We'll play something goofy. Yes?
I must stress, I downloaded a demo. I know the full thing's out, but there's a Three Kingdoms FMV romance game that just came out from China. And I'm like, yo, I want to play this so badly. So
oh
I got the
gosh.
Demo just to see if it's any good. But like... On the PC already.
Yes, beautiful. Hey, if you enjoyed watching Geekenders, you can watch all of the previous ones on youtube.com/JesseCox. We are also on all of the podcasting apps and sites. If you'd like to just listen to it, that would be fantastic. Any way you would like to support is wonderful. But that's going to be it for us. So have an amazing weekend and a fantastic week, and we will see you next time. So long.
Bye.
Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geekenders podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geekenders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast, without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast, without a doubt.